Pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
There we go. I don't know what it is, if the music ran out on us or not. I sometimes get cut off from my own show. I don't know if this is one of those times or not. I can't hear. In my headphones, I guess I'm kind of complaining, letting Jared know, where let all of you know, sometimes I seem like I'm unresponsive. Like right now, I have no sound at all. I don't know whether it's on my end. I don't know. It's my headphones. I heard the theme song, and then the theme song kind of went stopped playing. And I look at the screen right now, and I see that I'm broadcasting, but I have no sound on my end. So, Jared, that's kind of a heads up to you, buddy. And I don't even know what you can do about it, but I'm right now. I have no sound. Do you hear me, Jared? Okay. Okay, cool. All right. Maybe I didn't restart my computer. Hey, good morning. Do I look tired this morning? I wish I could go up and get my little help meet up there, my little wife, Michelle. Man, we have been mailing out Occupy 2018 CDs. Heard from a lot of you. When are we going to get those things? We had a lot of technical issues with it. I don't understand the tech world as it is, but Adam Ladrick, the guy who did the filming for us, did a great job, made very, very nice videos. But when he kept sending it to the company that was going to produce the videos, they couldn't pull it up on their machines. They couldn't pull up the work that Adam had done. So he sent it to Dropbox. He sent it to something else. Then he put it on a thumb drive and he sent it to him. Then he put it on another thumb drive and he sent it to him. By the way, Jared, that reminds me. I sent that thumb drive to the wrong address. To Orion, Maine, I think is what it is. You may have to go down there. Okay, I was going to say you may have to go head it off. But anyway, these are going out this weekend. In fact, we just made a second order because there's been a great demand for them. $40. And folks, this really helps support us if you feel so inclined. This is the discs from the Hear the Watchman. I'm sorry, Hear the Watchman. Occupy 2018 conference. David Hevner, Tom Dunn, Bill Fetter, man, that's fabulous. L.A. Marzulli, Russ Dizdar, John Robertson, Joe Hagman, Doug Hagman, David Arthur, Pastor Paul A. Begley, Mark Trump, Pastor Mike Spalding, and Coach Dave jumping in there every once in a while. It's great. DVDs. Make a donation to us. We'll send one right out to you, okay? So, Michelle, it's amazing. I tried to make this as feasible doing as possible, because like when I go to the post office to mail stuff out, I stand in line, they weigh it, they do all the typing under the queue, they print out the label. And I'm thinking, hey, I got 150 of these things to mail. The line's going to be clear down the street. I can't do this. So yesterday I had the envelopes and they gave us stamps. They weighed it, told us how much it would be, and gave us little stamps that we could put on each one of them. So last night, Michelle stuffing envelopes. At least we didn't have to lick them, putting the thing in there, putting the stamps on them. We did a bunch of them yesterday. We'll be doing a bunch of them tonight. So if that's why I look like I'm a little bit weary, y'all see Michelle. God bless my dear little wife. Oh man, got a lot of good stuff going on today. I want to back up yesterday. I don't want you guys to think I was moaning and griping yesterday, stuck on my thumb. Poor me. It wasn't about that at all. I just wanted to vent a little bit because I think sometimes we lose track of all of us do. I know there are a lot of guys who are watching this who are active in their ministries, and their ministries are important to them. I understand that. And I understand that they reach out to us sometimes because they need a leg up, a hand up. And I'm willing to try to do that. But I think sometimes we lose sight of where we are in the whole big scheme of things. It's like I told one of our football players one time, and he and his dad came, had a meeting with me, and he wanted to, you know, he wanted to know why he wasn't playing. And so his dad came with him. I sat the two of them down. I listened to the dad, and then I listened to the son. And son tried to make the argument why he should be playing. And so as soon as he got done, I said, well, hey, listen, let's make this really, really simple. This ain't about you. I make the decisions who plays, and it's not about you. I'm sorry. And right now, you're not good enough. Now, I could say it some other way, and you could complain, say it's favoritism, you could whatever you want to. It's truth. It's not about you. It's about our team. And if I were to put you out on the field right now, our team wouldn't be as good. Now, guys, that's straight shooting, isn't it? People don't want to hear that. But that's the way we have to begin to talk once again in America. That's what we have to begin to do. And listen, I'm not besmirching anybody's ministry. God bless them. I know how hard Larry's working to get the staff up and running. I understand that. I can't carry the ball for Larry. But God, I know what kind of guy Larry is, and he's going to work hard at it, and he's going to make it happen, and I'll help him when I can and how I can. But the program can't become about STAB, or the program can't become about what? You're with me here, aren't you guys? So I'm for you. I'm for you. We're trying to cover a lot of bases and do a lot of different things here. Any comment on that from anybody?
If people are getting butthurt, tell them go goodbye, painkiller. The truth hurts.
All right? Well, listen, I really believe this. They're not getting butthurt out of selfishness. It's just their issue is important to them. And that's good. That passion is right. That they should care about it. If they don't care about it and they don't fight for their issue, okay, good.
Well, do it. Right, exactly.
Yeah, good. So I'm with you. But listen, please don't send me an email say, well, that's it. I'm not listening anymore. Okay. Make a choice. I don't want to be you. Do I now become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Isn't that what the Apostle Paul said? So be aware of that. Hey, don't forget Pastor Mike Spaulding is coming up next weekend in Lima, Ohio. That stuff's all on our website, and it's free, and it's going to be good, and it's going to be a gathering of the saints again. And certainly don't forget November. June 15th and 16th. I had somebody sent me an email today and asked me this. Do we need to be there Thursday morning? Oh, no. The event will begin Friday at noon when we're going to go to a mosque. That's when it will begin. Friday night, we'll be together. Saturday, all day Saturday, we're going to be doing ministry. And then Sunday, you'll be free to go. I said we're breaking camp about 10 o'clock. That just means if you're trying to make plans of when you're going to drive out of there, when you're going to fly out of, about 10 o'clock, we're going to be done on Sunday morning. So, that's kind of the plan. Come and join us. I wrote a commentary today. It's posted at News with Views and several other different places. And the question is, are Christians allowed to get angry? Are we allowed to get angry? And I want to focus on that a little bit, but I got a lot of things I want to drop in your lap first. Jared, let's go to the one that says Greg Bonson. And I just want this. I read this yesterday and it kind of hit home with me. Really did. And we're so manipulated, folks. We're so manipulated. And I was thinking about, I got two things I want to show you. Two things in line with the same thing. Look, GMOs, they're poisoning our food. You don't have to believe it. Okay? You don't have to believe it. Our food's being poisoned. It's a simple fact. Look, the government is not representing you, all right? You don't have to believe it, but they don't have your best interest at heart. All those guys who go, I was watching a little thing this morning of Ben Rhodes, who worked for Hillary Clinton. He's got a documentary out now of the last election and election night and how upset they all were. You understand that all those people working for Hillary Clinton and her campaign, all of them in the national campaign, they were doing that for jobs. They were doing it for themselves. They wanted Hillary Clinton to get elected so they would have a job in the administration. So when you see people that are getting into political battles and political fights, don't ever lose sight of this. It's not that they're ideologically pure. They want a job. They want a job. Nothing wrong with that. New administration comes in. They fill the slots with their people. And who are the people? Why, the ones who work to get them elected. So those people that you see crying a lot, some of them you see TV crying, they're ideological. They don't understand that there is no ideology really in Big Swamp. There's no ideology. They're both about the same thing. We have the fake Republicans and the fake Democrats, but that's not really the battle. And so we have to realize this, that for the most part, I don't care what government agency it is, they don't care about you. If the IRS shows up at your door, it's not because they care about you. If the Department of Health shows up at your door, it's not because they care about you. If the Department of Children's Services shows up at your door, it's not that they really care about your kid. Now, they might, the individuals might, but they don't really care about you. And the sooner we can come to that realization, that especially, this will get me in trouble, non-Christian organizations, they don't have the love of Christ inside of them. They're not after your best interest. Ultimately, they're covering their own butt. When you hear teachers' unions, I used to be part of one. When you hear teachers' unions crying about more money in the classroom overcrowding and we need more money for this, don't believe that. Don't believe that. Do you know that 75-80% of your budget in your local public schools goes to teachers' salaries? Come on, how stupid are you? They don't need more money. And when schools get more money, that more money goes to the teachers. I used to be one. I understand how the system works. Okay? So Greg Bahnsen, two things here that caught my attention this morning as we dive into this. Jared, do you have it up there for me? This quote from Greg Bahnsen, and I don't know who it was that sent it to me, but I want you to think about this. Now, this talks about homosexuals, but you can pick anything you want to. You can talk about abortion. You can talk about social gospel. You can talk about the poor. You can talk about health care. Talk about whatever you want to. This just happens to be about homosexuality. I want you to think about it. Greg Bahnsen said, either we will discriminate against homosexuals or we will discriminate against the word of God. We will I'm sorry, Jared, can you reduce that a little bit for me? But I'm sorry. We will either aim to convert the homosexual and have him transformed into the image of Christ, or we will aim to convert the church's thinking about God's word and transform the Christian ethic into the image of the homosexual values. This discussion has brought us to the question of ultimate priorities and standards, and here the choice for the Christian ought not be difficult. In other words, they are going to win us to their philosophy, or we are going to win them to our philosophy. We are either going to stand firmly for Christ, or we are going to compromise the word of God to please man. There is no other option. Now, Jared, scroll back down to the very first line. So I want you to think about this. Here's what it says. Either we will discriminate against homosexuals or we will discriminate against the word of God. I don't know if I've ever heard it put more succinctly than that. Thoughts, guys? Thoughts?
There's two sides, Coach, right? There's only two. It's like you've said many times before, the seed of the serpent, the seed of the woman. If God, Jesus said it, if you're not for us, you're against us. You know.
So, Jared, when they tell us that we need to compromise, do we understand? We have to ask ourselves, do we have the spiritual right? Do we have the spiritual authority to compromise on what our King says? If anybody working at a job and you change the policy at your job without the approval of your boss, how long do you think you're going to be working for that company? So we are Christians, and our King of Kings and our Lord of Lords has mandated for us policies that here are the policies that we are to follow. And then a group of people decide on their own, well, we're going to change those policies. So the idea that we can come to a compromise. Oh, Jared, that's a good 1828 dictionary word. Compromise. Because I'm going to tell you something. Whenever you see, there are some things that you can't compromise on. I can compromise on what color shirt I'm going to wear, what color hat. Compromise on, okay, I wanted to eat steak tonight, but Michelle made chicken. I can compromise on that. But do I have the right and the ability to compromise on what my boss said? And so compromise says a mutual promise or contract of two parties in controversy to refer their differences to the decision of arbitrators. An amicable agreement between parties in controversy to settle their differences by mutual concession. Mutual agreement. Adjust. To adjust and settle a difference by mutual agreement with concessions of claims by the parties to compound. So let me ask you this. In this homosexual battle that we're fighting, what have the homosexuals compromised? When they got us to compromise on the word of God, what did they compromise? Somebody help me here.
Not one bloody thing.
They didn't give up anything, did they, Vinny?
Absolutely not.
We talk in a compromise, isn't it a win-win? Have we had a win-win in this whole homosexual alphabet lifestyle?
Hey, Coach.
Is there a win-win there? Yes.
They compromised their trip to heaven.
Yeah, they sure did. You don't have to be a homosexual and not go to heaven. So a lot of people are compromising that one. That's for sure.
Amen. But
they gave up nothing and got everything. They say, well, it's our right. It's our right. No, you have no right to change the God-ordained institution of marriage. You have no right to do that, see? They don't have the right to do that. And guys, I don't know if I've ever said this on the show. Thank you, Lord. I'll finish it. There's no discrimination in marriage. Folks, listen to this. This is so simple. You cannot marry whoever you want to marry. I'm a man. I'm a heterosexual man. I like women. Oops, I like my wife. I can't marry a man. I can't marry one. A homosexual man who wants to get married, he has every right to get married just like me, except he can't marry a man. I can't marry a man, and he can't marry a man. There's no discrimination there. We'll say, well, Coach, he wants to be able to marry the one he loves. Well, you can't marry the one you love. Can you marry your daughter? You love her, don't you? Are you allowed to marry your daughter? No, that's a crime. You can't do that. Can you marry somebody else's wife? No. Can you marry your dog? See, you can't marry whoever you love. And so we've bought a lie again there about discrimination. I can't marry the one I love. Well, yes, you can, as long as it's a female and not married to somebody else. Oh, compromise. So we've compromised ourselves right out of a position of authority. Roger, I'm heading to some scripture. Hang on with me. I promise I'm going to get to it. I got another thing. Glenn, did I send that to you? Jared, I sent you a bunch of stuff. I don't think I sent you this one from Glenn, because this is going to be a good place to jump off. I'm sending it to you right now. Yeah, that's forward addition to Jared. No, that's not it, Glenn. Yeah, it is. Guys, I'm sorry. I thought I'd already given this to Jared, and it really fits in here right now. Somebody jump in here for the good of the group if you got something to say about what I just said. I want to lay something else on the table, too. Come on, Coach. Yeah.
Tie in with what you said, I think it was yesterday or the day before, values. It's values. You can't compromise values. Maybe you can change your value, but that's you change it.
They're not valuable, then are they, Jared? Right. If you compromise on your values, valuable values, then they're not valuable.
Hey, Coach, you know, if you have opportunity, but you don't have the time to go through the explanation as you just went through it, maybe a simple way would be just to say they don't want equal values. They're seeking special values.
Special rights. Special rights. And we have compromised and we've given them special rights. Okay. Okay. Got it, Jared. I want the article. Very, very quick. I don't know this guy. Here's what I think. When you put something out there, you're responsible for it. So my purpose is not to beat up on this guy. My purpose is to show you the problem. And isn't it funny? The title of this thing is The Braveheart Podcast. The Braveheart Podcast. Wow. And the title of this was Let me see, Jared. I'm sorry. To act like a Christian or to be a Christian? Being a Christian versus doing Christian stuff. All right? Being a Christian versus doing Christian. I think this guy is very, very sincere, but it's a different gospel. I want to point out some things to you real quickly. It's very short. As we read down through this. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a flagrant offering and sacrifice to God. Ephesians 5:1. Hang on. Now, I wrote today. I don't know if I'm going to get to it. Hey guys, question for you. You want to be like Christ? You want to be Christ-like? You really want to be Christ-like? Okay. Was Christ all about love? Is that all he was about? But wait a minute, hang on. Was his daddy all about love? Did Jesus Christ, the perfect human being, ever get angry? Does anybody know of an instance where Jesus, the born again God, got angry? Does anybody know any sense situation where that happened?
Hey, if you want to be perfect, you got to get angry every now and then.
Well, what did Jesus do? Now, somebody help me
temple,
out.
He overturned the table.
Hang on. Isn't that vandalism?
No.
Vandalism or not?
No.
Righteous anger.
Well, why is it not vandalism?
Because they were told not to do that in the temple.
Yeah, but why didn't the chief scribes and the priests, why didn't they call the police? Because he did vandalism. He came in there and he defied the ruling powers. Yes or no?
No.
And it was so bad. It said he got so angry, he went over and counted to 10, made a cat of nine tails. Scripture says, right? So Jesus saw something that really ticked him off, and he went in and he did something that appeared to be very, very temper tantrum, as I see it. And then you go read in the Old Testament, you read about his daddy. And you find out that his daddy says that he's angry with the wicked every day. And now, you want to do a word search. You do a word search on the wrath of God in the Old Testament. Do a word search on the wrath of God. It's everywhere. The scriptures talk about the wrath of God. God gets angry. Wrath. Anger. You want to be like God? Well, you need to have a little bit of anger. Now, hang on. Yes, go ahead, Rod.
Well, real quick, let's assume that Jesus is 80% love and only 20% of other things, okay? But are we not taught through other individuals in God's word how to act in the world? Christ's main focus, if I'm correct, is the cross. His sacrifice on the cross to deal with our sin. Now, how he lived is very important, but he is not the only role model that was ordained by God to teach us. Is that correct?
I would say so, yes. He lived a perfect life, right? Perfect life.
So isn't the life of John the Baptist, who confronted sin with the king, is that lesson not just as important as some of the lessons that Jesus is teaching and how Jesus lived?
Well, Jesus said that there was none ever born to a woman that was greater than John the Baptist. So therefore, it would seem to me that Jesus Christ approved of John the Baptist's anger. I would think. Jesus got angry, right? But I want you to think about this. Are you allowed in your church, in any conversation with any of your church leaders, ever to be angry? Or do they immediately tell you can't be angry? Oh, you're not showing them much fruit, Roger. Roger, you're fruit. Roger, you're angry.
Coach, like to tell you, what they tell you when you get angry is, oh, you have a spirit of opposition, David. You have a bad spirit, David. That's what they tell you. But see, the insult, when Jesus went into the temple and flipped those tables, the insult was that he made the whip out of their animals and then whip them with the hair from their own animals. That's the insult. But he didn't stop and say, you know, you guys are a bunch of hypocrites. You're just vipers and snakes. No.
I love all you guys.
He was angry.
Right. So David, my question then, Roger, my question is, if you are Christ-like, are you allowed to be angry?
Absolutely.
When's the last time you heard that preached?
Yeah.
When's the last time you heard that preached? Right? The wrath of God. See, they tell you, Roger, when they get you in that meeting and you're in there and you're in the principal's office, as soon as you rise up with any type of passion, your passion scares them, and they tell you you're a Christian, you're not allowed to be angry. Self-control, Roger. Hey, baby, listen. Can I tell you a story here, guys? True story. True story. I was coaching. All my stories are true. I was coaching against West Jefferson. Big game, 1994, I think it was. We were both undefeated. It was late in the season. They were our bitter rivals. And they beat us. Maybe it was 93. Can't remember. And as I'm leaving the field, some fan gets comes down out of the stands and gets behind me. And he's following me. And he's chirping into my ear and just chirping. Oh, just on and on about me. And I got coaches around me, you know. And finally, I'd had enough of it. And the guy is right behind me. And I stopped. And I turned around. I put my hand on his shoulder. And I looked at him. I said, "Hey, buddy, listen. The Holy Spirit just saved your life. And you don't even know it." Controlled anger. Now, listen. What was the basis of my anger? Me. He was saying stuff about me. I was taking it personally. That's unrighteous anger. That's unrighteous anger. Walk away from that. Don't act upon that. But buddy, when they're slicing off the head of babies in an abortion clinic, that'd be righteous anger. If you want that. Yeah. How many of you think that if Jesus Christ himself were to show up outside of an abortion clinic, he would outside the abortion clinic and tell everybody going in how much he loved them.
Amen. No way. Hey, Coach.
Burn that sucker to the ground.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah, George.
Is the philosophy that we're not supposed to get angry, is that not just a control mechanism? Because if they can convince Christians to not get angry, is that just not another form, one of many forms of controlling people, just like they try and control the masses?
It's even worse than that. The devil's team, the politicians, they know we don't get angry. So they don't care. They're not afraid of us. You see, guys, have you been paying attention to what happens with Black Lives Matter and all those? Have you watched what goes on the street? Have you watched what anger does to leadership? Have you watched that? And what do they tell us? We're not allowed to get angry. Teach homosex to my kindergartner? Oh, yes, praise the Lord, brother. Go ahead. What if they tried to come into your own house and do that? What if they tried to come into... Are you kidding me? Hey,
right.
Coach, control your anger. I've had people tell me, Coach, I can't watch your show. You're so full of anger. Are you... What? I'm full of the Holy Spirit. I'm not full of anger. I have righteous indignation. I'm sorry if you can't recognize that for what it is. I don't walk around an old angry sourpuss, but there are certain things, the wrath of God up on the screen. God has wrath. The wrath of God. Hey, you don't have to go there. John 3, Jared, maybe you can, Jared. Maybe you can. John 3. Go to the very end, Jared.
Hey, Coach.
Hang on, George. Let me pull it right there. Verse 35, the Father loves the Son, hath given all things into his hand, and he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. New Testament. Mm-hmm. New Testament. Go ahead, George.
No, I thought that was really good. You know, a lot of times we people hear what we want to hear, and I thought that was really good how you, the difference between, and you use the analogy of when you were getting attacked personally versus when it's something like abortion or something that's just outright evil, because we as Christians have to know the difference, because we're going to get personally attacked, and that's not the time to react
in that type of
anger. It's a righteous Holy Ghost anger.
George, last year when we went to the gay pride parade, some girl threw a beer in my face right in front of the police. I'm going to tell you something. Oh, did that wrath come up out of me? But I realized it was a personal assault. And I didn't do anything. I'm going to tell you something. If she had done that to my wife,
forget it.
You with me, guys?
Absolutely.
Amen. Big difference.
There's a difference in those two things, right? I'm going to defend my wife. I'm not going to cower and say, oh, well, thank you for throwing that Budweiser. We'll pray for you. Jesus loves you. How can we never tell them they have to get over their anger? They cower us in the corner. So hang on. You guys are getting the point, aren't you? Jared, pull that thing up, the Braveheart podcast. Okay, this guy wrote this. I don't know him. He's probably very nice man. Probably. And the title of it is Being a Christian or Doing Christ, whatever it was. So God reveals himself to man. Now, I want you to show the premise. The initial premise is totally, completely wrong. And see if the class picks it up. God reveals himself to man in order for himself. It should be two out of there. God reveals himself to man in order for himself to dwell in man so that he can manifest himself through man. God's purpose in saving us is first and foremost to be intimate with us. Time out! Can anybody tell me any scriptural, Larry, anybody help me? That God's first, what's it say? God's purpose in saving us is first and foremost, he wants to be intimate with us. Does anybody know where I could find that? Hang on, you don't have to answer. The outcome of intimacy with Jesus is becoming more like him and loving what he loves. And he forgot to say, and hating what he hates, right? Jesus is just love, 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 love. This guy's probably a very nice man. Best way to grow in his image and love for others is to imitate him. Hey, Vinny, he flipped over the stinking tables. He took a whip. He warned people the wrath of God abides on him. When Jesus went into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, said, who do men say that I am? They say, you're John the Baptist or Elijah, Jeremiah, one of the prophets. He must have been preaching a wild and crazy message. And this guy here is telling us we got to act like Jesus, which means what? Put our hat on sideways and smile. Is that what we're supposed to do?
Not in my land.
No. And the best way to be fashioned into his image, are you ready? The best way to be fashioned into his image and likeness is by resting in the grace and acceptance of God. There are so many Christians trying to do the right Christian things and constantly feeling as though they are failing. They compare themselves with other people in ministry and begin to judge their own fruit compared to others. Feelings of inadequacy drive them harder and harder into a cycle of dead works, Larry. There you go. But the beauty of God's promises of salvation is that we get the privilege of actually becoming like the Lord. I can't read any more of it.
Dave?
Which is more common in the church, that guy or me? Go ahead, Raj.
I wanted to go back to my question because I have an answer to the Greek. Isn't the message not what Jesus would do, but what is the entirety of the Bible calling us to do? God's entire word through his entire people that he used.
Yes.
Like the bandit went, what would Jesus do? I understand Jesus is the rock. I understand the salvation flows through his sacrifice. But isn't the response the totality of the Bible and God's word as to how to handle situations? Is it not just to follow Jesus' actions, but to follow the entire word of God's actions?
The whole counsel of God, they call that? The whole counsel of God? Yes.
Hey, Ryan, can I answer that?
This focus on Jesus needs to be challenged when it comes to how we are to act. There are other characters that God used in Scripture to teach us how to respond to the culture.
Amen. Amen.
Hey, Coach.
Being Christ-like in doing so. Yes. Go ahead.
Hey, Coach, didn't Jesus tell his disciples, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father?
That's what he said.
Yes, okay. He did. So who was it that killed all the Israelites in the wilderness when they, worshiped the golden calf and all that, opened up the ground, and what, 20,000 of them or so got swallowed up? Yeah. Was that Jesus or was that the Father? I mean, well, if they're one.
It was the old grouchy guy, Jimmy. It was that old man.
Huh. Okay.
Robert, let me take a stab at answering your question.
No pun intended.
We are to be like Jesus in the aspect that he described himself. He revealed to us in the book of John that he didn't say anything that the Holy Spirit and the Father didn't give him to say. He didn't even do any actions that he wasn't shown to do. Now, that isn't to say we're to copycat him. That's to say we're to develop the ability to hear the Spirit and hear the Father direct us.
Amen.
I agree, Larry. And Larry, I can think right now as I'm sitting here trying to conform to the image of Christ. I want to conform to the image of Christ. I can think of at least twice, maybe there's more, two times when Jesus went absolutely bonkers, angry. Now, remember this. Remember how he spoke to the Pharisees and Sadducees? Remember him calling them names, brood of vipers, whitened sepulchers, full of dead men's bones and all corruption? Is that love? He goes into the temple a second time. What's he do? Actually, he did it twice. He cleansed the temple twice. So we have at least three instances, more if we'd even really, really look at it, where Jesus did something that appeared to be out of the ordinarily, violently angry. I don't know. I don't know how we... How do we ignore this side of Christ? How do we ignore him? Now, why did Jesus flip over the tables in the temple? Because... Well, he wasn't because he felt offended, but he was offended of how little respect they had for that place, that they would come in there and do that in his Father's house. Amen. So he wasn't angry about him, or he got ripped off and got charged too much. That's not a reason to flip over the table. But when the guy's in there with usury, as you said, taking advantage of it, he flipped over the tables. Fellas, why is it when we hear people talking about being like Jesus and being conformed to his image and his likeness, it's always sissified? Why is that?
Coach, this is what bothered me about that article.
Thanks for sending it to me, by the way.
Well, you're welcome. But I think that, you talk about another gospel, and I think this happens to be a young pastor, and so the people sitting in the pew who are reading this or listening to it, he's painting a picture of how he's telling people how we should behave. So this to me reflects, you go back to what you said about you worship the God you see, okay? You worship the Christ you see. So if he's painting this kind of a picture of Christianity, and new Christians are sitting in the pew and they're saying, this is how I should be, this is how I should act. You see how that's twisting or angling a different gospel? So therefore, how do we appear to people in we will come across angry. It's here's a good analogy. It's the difference between political correctness and the way Trump speaks. It's the same difference.
That's right. And they don't like the way Trump speaks, right?
Exactly.
So listen, see, in Washington, D.C., they don't care if you lie. If you're one of them and you lie with good words, they don't mind. They don't like the abruptness with which Trump calls them out. That's what they don't like. Hey, Jared, go to Genesis 18. Genesis 18.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Hey, I was just going to say, I think that the skinny, tight jeans cuts off the circulation, which lowers the testosterone level.
Well, it squeezes something down so they shrivel and shrink. You want my honest opinion? Somebody else tried to jump in there.
Yeah, hey, Coach, it was me. Hey, I was talking to somebody the other day, and we were talking almost about this exact thing, and I said, we have the Holy Scriptures in hindsight. So we look back and we know Jesus died for our sins and died to save us and whatnot. But the reason that the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all the religious leaders of that day killed him wasn't for that. They didn't kill him to be saved of their sins. They killed him because he pissed them off. And I said, how many people have you pissed off recently with the gospel? and we just went on. But that's I don't get it. I think we're trying to reconcile. We want to be like Jesus, but we want everyone to like us as well. And it's unfortunately you can't have it both ways.
The only way we, in order to love people, sometimes you have to compromise the gospel. We're not supposed to do that. By the way,
Amen.
Dustin,
yeah.
Send me your address. I got something I want to send you. All right.
Okay.
Send
yes, me sir.
Address. Make sure I get your address. Okay.
Yep.
Good, very, very good point. See, listen, it's again, Matt Tice. I don't know if you're out there, Matt. We put people above the Lord. We love people more than the Lord. So the Lord said sodomy is an abomination. And we say, oh, yes, but Tommy is such a sweet boy. I don't want to say anything harsh to him. So we compromise. Jared, I got you. Did I say Genesis 18? Is that what I said? I think I did. Let's go to verse 16. Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, I want to take you down through this, okay? I'm going to try to do the best job that I can with it. I got time. Roger, take notes on this one, buddy. You never heard anybody preach this. So you understand? Everybody understands what happens. I could read the whole thing. I don't want to take time. 16. The men rose up from there, and they went toward Sodom. And Abraham went with them to bring them on their way. By the way, Abraham is kind of the chief, isn't he? The chief is with him. Abraham sure goes with him. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? God says, I really want Abraham to see this. Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed with him. Do I really want him to see what I'm about to do? God said, for I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, for that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. He says, if I let Abraham watch what I'm about to do, then Abraham's going to be doing the same thing. I want him to see this. It's the way I'm reading it. Paraphrasing, that's the way I'm seeing it. So he says, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of which is coming to me. And if not, I'm going to know. I want to make it. Remember, he went, if will you save it for 5 righteous? Will you save it for 50 righteous? Remember how you did that countdown? Verse 22, and the men turned their faces from looking at it and went towards Sodom. But Abraham's yet stood before the Lord. So the men go, Abraham stays. He says, I am the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, will you destroy the righteous with the wicked? He says, Lord, if you blow up Sodom, there's going to be a lot of righteous people that are going to get there. Going to be a lot of them. Peradventure, there'll be 50 righteous. Will you spare the city? Will thou also destroy and not spare them? The righteous, the 50 righteous? You're going to blow this whole place up just for 50 righteous? To be far from thee to do that after this manner. You're loving God. You wouldn't do that. To slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked, that be far from thee, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Abraham says, you can't kill all of these innocent people. You're the judge of the earth. You're going to do the right thing. And Abraham answered, and the Lord said, if I find 50, all right, I'll make that deal with you. Abraham said back to him, okay, well, how about we lack 5 of the 50? We do to the city if we just have 5? He said, nah, if I find 40 and 5, I'm not destroying. Okay. And he said again, goes on down, keeps counting down, heading somewhere, Jared. Verse 30, and he said unto him, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. He said, Lord, don't get mad at me. I will say something. Is there any chance that we can find 30 and you won't do it? 31, he says, behold, now I've taken upon me to speak unto the Lord. Will you do it for 20? Will you do it for 20's sake? He said, oh, Lord, let not the Lord be angry. I'm just asking, Lord, I got to know. Will you do it just for 10, Lord? If it's just 10 righteous, will you do it for them? And the Lord went his way as soon as he had left communing with Abraham. The Lord heard him out, and the Lord went his way, and Abraham went his way. Next chapter, Jared. Because remember, there's no chapter break. Got to see this. And there came 2 angels to Sodom at evening and sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground, and he said, "Behold now, my lords, turn in, and I pray into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet. You shall rise up early and go your ways." And they said, "No, no, no, but we're going to take control of the street in the night." He pressed upon them greatly, and they turned unto him and entered into his house, and he made them a feast. And he did not bake unleavened bread, and they ate it. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house around. All the men of Sodom. Remember, the Lord said, just give me 40 of them, just 40 good ones, both old and young, all the people. For they gathered around Lot's house. They called unto Lot and said unto him, "Where are the men which came in this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them." So these guys surrounded, and they want to dingle these men. And Lot went out the door unto them, and he shut the door after him. And he said, "I pray you, brethren, do not do so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters. Take my daughters. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do you unto them whatever you want to do. Only unto these men, don't do that. For therefore came they under the shadow of my roof." And they said, "Get out of here, old man." They said again, "This one fellow came in to sojourn, and he needs to be a judge. Now we will deal worse with thee than we will with them. We're going to take it on you, Lot, for trying to stick up. Get out of the way." But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them, and they shut the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they were wearied themselves to find the door. And the men said unto Lot, "Hast thou here any besides? Is there anybody else here? Son-in-law, my sons, and the daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place." He said, "Get them out of there. Get those 50 righteous, those 40 righteous, get them out of there. If you got them, if you know where they are, get them out of there," God says. For he says, "I'm going to destroy this place because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord. And the Lord has sent us to destroy it." Don't miss this. And Lot went out and he spoke unto his sons, 10 righteous, just 5 righteous, which married his daughters, and said, "Get up, get out of here, for the Lord's going to destroy this city." But he seemed as one that mocked his sons-in-law. Sons-in-laws laughed at him. When the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, "Hey, dude, get up, get your wife and your 2 daughters, and get out of here, lest thou be consumed by the sin in the city." And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, upon the hand of his wife, upon the hand of his 2 daughters. And the Lord, being merciful unto him, said, and that brought him and set him without the city. The Lord picked him up and took him outside. And it came to pass, when they had brought them from forth abroad, then he said, "Escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in this place. Escape to the mountain, lest you be consumed." And Lot said unto them, "Oh, no, Lord, no! Behold, now the servant hath found grace in thy sight. And thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast shown unto me in saving my life. Not escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. Behold, now this city is near to flee unto, and then there's another one. Or let me escape another place. Let me get out of here, but let my soul live." He said unto him, "See, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city for the which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, get out of here, escape quickly, for I cannot do anything till thou get you get out of there. Therefore, the name of the city will be called Zoar. The sun was risen up on the earth when Lot entered into Zoar, and then the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven, and he overthrew those cities and all in the plain and all the inhabitants of the city and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Point being what? There aren't any righteous. And God sometimes has to destroy the righteous to preserve, destroy the wicked to preserve the righteous. Hey, dudes, that's a pretty mean dude right there. Huh? That's a pretty mean guy. His main man Lot's begging him, "Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it." He says, "I'm going to tell you one more time, bud. You get your wife and your daughters, and you get out of here, because I'm about to do something that ain't going to be pretty." Now, how do we get from there to homosexual pastor standing in the pulpit? Somebody explain that to me. Come on in.
We're living in churchianity. This is not Christianity. It's churchianity.
Corruption. Corruption.
Compromise.
Wrong kind of love.
Wrong kind of love. Compromise, right? And so what do they tell you today? I don't know if you guys are aware of this. What do the homos tell us today? That the sin of Sodom was they weren't very hospitable. Have you guys followed that one? That's what the church is now. This whole fire brimstone on the Sodomites, what they call them to this day, Sodomites, right? Those who have sex with other men's rectums are called Sodomites, right? Somebody help me here. Named after the city. It wasn't because they didn't have good manners. He destroyed them because of the identification of the sin that they engaged. And today's church says, no, that wasn't what it meant. When they weren't very hospitable. So the compromise is killing us, fellas. Killing us. Hey. So if you wanted to be like Jesus, what would you look like? What would you look like? If you were going to be what? Conformed to the image of Christ. Is he just love? Is it all love, love, love? If somebody is getting ready, listen to me. If somebody's getting ready to dingle your 4-year-old grandson and you come upon them, are you handing them a gospel tract?
I'm handing them a beating.
If somebody is dingling, trying to teach dingling to your little precious 5-year-old, 6 years old in the first grade, huh? They're doing what?
Right.
But see, you gotta be a Christian. You have to accept it. You have to follow the law. God help us, man. Come on in here, somebody. I'm running out of time. I got a bunch more to talk about, but not enough time.
We got to put an end to this. We got to reclaim Christianity. Bring it back, the real Christianity.
We have to reclaim the church, don't we? We have to make the gospel great again.
Yes.
We have to make the gospel great again. 1 John 3:8 says, "For this purpose was the Son of God manifest." Manifest means showed up. For this reason, God showed up, that he would destroy the works of the devil. And whoever's telling you that Jesus came and died on the cross, and if you were the only one, he would have come just for little old you, they're lying to you. It is a cosmic, supernatural war for the souls of men that are playing out. It's not love. It's not the love boat. All right? It's a battleship. It should be a battleship. And we've turned it into a love boat. Our message is incomplete. Our message is truncated. I don't know where I learned that word. Our message is just part of the gospel. Does God love everybody?
Hey.
Well, his love's available to everybody.
Hey, Coach. So I'm gonna tell you,
Jesus would not be outside of the abortion clinic handing out tracts, telling them how much he loves them. Yeah, George.
Man, I have been to literally, I can't even tell you how many churches here in the last few weekends campaigning for Dan Fisher. But in my humble opinion, witnessing what I've witnessed with these hirelings and how they try and keep us from, you know, preaching the gospel and defending a righteous man, They're not going to change until there's a change. And that change is going to be something uncomfortable. I don't wish that. But they're so entrenched in their apathy and their system that it's sickening.
Yeah, I agree with you know. I've seen the same thing that George has seen, and in many respects we're paddling upstream, okay? Because the people are listening to a different gospel, and so there, you know, we start talking about something different, and it confuses them because it's not what they're used to hearing. All right, so they're in a different paradigm than we are. So in many respects, we are paddling upstream, and that, you know, from that point of view.
Coach,
yes, sir. Go ahead.
We were so twisted. You brought up abortion that we're more concerned about puppies and kittens. We have commercials to save them, and we don't have no commercials, no nothing about saving babies that are ripped apart and flushed down the toilet.
Can I tell you why is that, Serge? Because we're not allowed to be angry. We're not allowed to be angry.
Right.
You're not allowed to be angry.
Talk about that.
No, church isn't allowed to be angry. No. You're not.
If we valued life, would we get angry about death? Would we get angry about people dying if we valued life?
We would. If it's innocent death, innocent life. Yes, we would get angry about it. What? Hey, listen, guys. This is going to be hard for Christians to understand. Soft Christians. This nation that we're in right now was birthed out of rebellion. It was birthed out of anger. Patrick Henry, when he stood up, he said, "Give me liberty or give me death." He said, "I've had enough of it." He was driven by anger. Anger is a good, good emotion. God gave you the anger. You're made in the image of God. The entire Old Testament is wrath. God, look at Jesus in the New Testament. Wrath upon what? The wicked. Wrath upon the wicked. Love towards the righteous. Wrath to the wicked. Love to the righteous. It's all through the scriptures. We love the wicked. And we attack the righteous because, for the most part, they won't fight back. Three minutes. I'm telling you a whole bunch of truth today, boys. Now, what do we do with it?
Hey, Coach.
We can't go. Hang on, Vinny. We can't go running around taking the law into our own hand. Well, why not? First of all, here's what happens. Now, I'll get myself in a hole I won't get out. Go ahead, Vinny.
Okay, so let me take it. Let me take your light work, brother. Let me tell you what happens when you coddle scumbaggery. I just posted it. I'm going to read it. I'm going to read the title out loud. Teacher on leave after being accused of trying to rape a 15-year-old. A math teacher at the Codman Academy Charter Public School in Dorchester has been arrested and charged with the assault of a child with the intent of rape. That's what you're allowing when you let this crap go through.
Amen.
So your children are forfeit if you forfeit this battle.
Well, you know why he's trying to rape a little kid? Because he's been free to have as much porn as he wants. That's why.
Exactly.
His mind, right. Mind's ravaged with porn, right? Free speech. Porn's free speech and the Bible isn't. You tell me we're not living in an upside down world? Now, how did that happen? Because, well, the church, we want to compromise. We want to be loving. Why can't we all get along? The gospel, according to Rodney King, when that is not the message of the Bible. Fellas, that is not the message of the Bible.
Bloody right.
I know I'm bloody right. I know. So you understand that you look in the mirror, we've met the enemy and the enemy's us. We're the enemy. We have compromised the truth of Christ with the feelings of people. Oh, Coach, you can't talk like that. That sounds so mean. There's not much love in your voice, Coach. Really. Tell that to Jesus. Brood of vipers, white sepulchers, full of dead men's bones. Jesus, you're not showing much self-control. You're not showing much fruit of the Spirit there, Jesus. We're so freaking soft, wussied. Everything our forefathers died for, we have yielded without a whimper. And it can be laid strictly at the lap of the American Christian Church, and specifically the pulpit. See you tomorrow.